Beautiful. You can have a seat. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to start with a couple of verses that aren't on the PowerPoint, Jason. Sorry. Do you have your Bible or your phone or your iPad, or maybe you have an overhead projector with you today? Hebrews 10, 23. Well, let's do 22 through 25. Just something that came upon me. Thank you for the beautiful music. We're in the process of doing some messages based around the word hope. In Hebrews 10, 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23 of Hebrews 10 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another with love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some in their habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near." And that day is a capital D, which is beautiful. I love those verses. So I want to start with this statement saying gratitude, and you're listening, God, should be our response to the hope we have in Christ. We're talking about hope, and you're here and you know Christ. He's your Lord and Savior. You're living for Him. You're dying for Him. You want to do everything you can to present His will to people. Gratitude should be our response because of that hope. I remember a pastor saying to me a few years ago, our first step away from God is when we become unthankful. Think about it. Our first step away from God is when we become unthankful. Sometimes we get accustomed to the things we've been given and we begin to take them for granted. So true. The longer that we've been believers, the more we get used to the blessings and the benefits of knowing Christ. And sometimes we can forget what it was like not to have hope in through Him. I read a story once, and this is for husbands and wives. I read this little story once. A man needed his pants ironed. His wife, as she ironed the pants, burned the pants. These pants were brand new that he was looking forward to wearing. And her husband started to get mad, but he stopped to think before reacting. And he said, "Lord, thank you that my leg wasn't in these pants." That's the way to be grateful. That's the way to live your life. And there's always a reason, you know, as believers to give thanks. Psalm, and I have some verses in Psalms today. 7:17, "I will give to the Lord the thanks due in His righteousness, and I will sing praises in His name for the Lord the Most High." 1 Chronicles 16:8-13 says this, and I love the subtitle, "David's Song of Thanks." He probably sang this, "Oh, I wish I could sing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name," the Bible says. "Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." See those explanation points? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Not just on Sunday, every day. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen one. When it comes to life circumstances and what goes on each day, do you respond with gratitude? Do you respond with grit? Or are you just a grouch? And for the first time in the history of Community Christian Fellowship, we're going to have a pop quiz this morning. I want you to take out this half green sheet. Who here needs a pen? Where's Holly Everton at? I told her, "Here's Holly. Raise your hand if you need a pen. Holly will give you a pen." This is a very important quiz that will help you with gratitude the rest of your life. It's unbelievable. Raise your hand. We'll give you a pen. Praise God. And we'll see how you respond to these four questions on this pop quiz. Question number one. You're in a line. There's Debbie over there. Praise God. You are in a 10-item line. 10-item cash-only line at the grocery store. And in your hands you have two cans of green beans, one can of cream and mushroom soup. I don't need any of that stuff. And a fresh $20 bill in your hand. The person in front of you in that line has 15 items and a checkbook in their back pocket. So how do you respond? A, gratitude for the green bean bake your family will enjoy. Please don't ever make that, Kathy. B, grit your teeth and wonder if the guy ahead of you failed math or doesn't know how to read. Or three, yell at the cashier. Checkout line violation, 15 items. Circle the one you would do. Question number two, you get a letter from an IRS. Our favorite, anybody here work for the IRS? Forgive me. Stating, you get a letter from the IRS stating you get a $1,000 refund. How do you respond? A, gratitude to live in America, the land of the free, home of the brave. B, grit your teeth about the other $10,000 you paid in taxes this year. C, rip the letter to shreds while demanding more of a refund. All right. So circle the letter you would do there. Question number three. For some reason, the IRS is twice in these questions. Maybe because the tax day just happened. You get a letter from the IRS stating you will be audited. How do you respond? A, gratitude to live in America, the land of the free, home of the brave. B, clinch the phone and call your accountant. C, write the local newspaper an angry letter about tax oppression in the United States. Praise God. Last question in our pop quiz today. As you drop your son off at school, tell me, does it ever happen to you? The car in front of you decides to just park there, trapping you in the school parking lot. How do you respond? A, you smile and give thanks for the time to stop and smell the roses and the car fumes. B, you grab the steering wheel tighter as steam comes out of your ears. C, you honk the horn continually, that sound out, move your car in Morse code. All right, so there's your quiz for today. Praise God. How did you all do? Now, here's your answer key. If you had all B's for your answer, you need to take a breath, chill out, and relax. If you had all C for your answers, you may need some therapy. And if you had A for your answers, come on up and you can go ahead and preach this message. Praise God. In your listening guide, what I observe is that gratitude for God gives changes on my perspective about life. If you choose to live your life with gratitude, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Today, I want to examine 8 verses in Psalm 138 together, and we'll learn how David expressed his thankfulness to God, how David was gratitude. 3 points. First one, expressions of gratitude. The first 3 verses of 138 says this, and the subtitle, give thanks to the Lord of David. He said, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I love this, says that. And in verse 3, on the day I called, you answered me. The strength of soul you increased. And I think to myself, I'm reading these scriptures, I'm thinking, maybe there's somebody here today that wants to call on Him. Maybe someone wants to call on God and say, I need you, Lord. Forgive me for what I've done. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to learn to live with you. I want to have gratitude in my life. And when you look at those 3 verses and you think about David, it was really voluntary. David's expressions of praise in those 3 verses, they were spontaneous and they were voluntary. No one manipulated him to praise the Lord, nor could anyone stop him from sharing his praises to the Lord and before everyone. Tony Evans shared a story. He said, a man got on a bus one day, found a seat and sat down. On the next stop, a lady got in and got on And she had to stand up because there wasn't any seats left. So the man who had boarded the bus earlier stood up, gave her her seat as he was taught to do as a boy. And when the lady sat down, she fainted because she was so astonished that someone would offer his seat to her. And then when she came to and thanked the man, then the man fainted because he was shocked that someone would be grateful that he gave the seat. That's the way to do it. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, therefore, let us be grateful. Think of the country we live in. Think of how we've been blessed living in the United States. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm telling you, ever hear one a great song, you hear Bethel singing, we will not be shaken. It'll move you. It says a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, the Bible says. For our God is a consuming fire. In those first three verses of Psalm, David was also passionate. This Psalm of David literally burst with energy and passion. This was no dull, monotonous hymn sung off key. It was a loud and jubilant explosion of heartfelt praise with an exclamation point. And then I'm supposed to ask you today, how did you sing in church this morning? Has anyone caught you singing in praise lately at work or at home? Ask Kathy. I'm always going around. I'm really the whistler. But I'm always going around the house just praising God. Just thanking Him. I can't wait to get in the car to come here. I get to worship Him for 45 minutes here, 45 minutes at home. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6 blew me away because they identically match the verses I read, except for one word in 1 Chronicles earlier. Psalms 105, 1 through 6. Tell of His wondrous works. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength, the word says. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles, the judgments He utters. And, oh, offspring, and the only words different is Abraham, His servant. Children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Point number two, enemies of gratitude. Because he goes on in verse 138, in the next three verses, David says, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord. For they have heard the words of your mouth, and they sing in of the ways of the Lord. For the great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. So when you read those verses of this second point, enemies of gratitude, pride. Pride is what messes up. Why would kings, would they be the first ones who would you would imagine praising God? Why do they need God? They have and control everything. And in fact, I think it's this very attitude of pride that David writes against in that verse 4. Instead of being puffed up in pride, the wise kings of earth would instead give praise to God for His great promises. And I think to myself, and I put this in your listening, God, when we focus more on the gifts than the giver, capital G, we too can swell up with pride at all we have amazed. We have forgotten that all we have is given in trust by our Father. And not only in pride, but we see it today, and the word is entitlement. It's not only the rich that can lose sight of the giver and the good things. Those who lack can adapt an entitlement mentality that says, why don't I have what everyone else has? I'm better than they are. It's not fair. I deserve better. And the truly humble trust in God's wisdom and in His heart, even when they cannot see His hand in the provisions in His life. Because we can still give glory to God, whether we have a lot or whether we don't. Are you jealous of another person's possession or position? Do you think they deserve more or better things? Why? What do all of us really deserve? There was a story of a little boy who wanted his mother to pay him for all the services he was rendering at home. Any parent ever had a kid do that? He left her a note that read this: "For washing the dishes, Mom, you owe me a dollar. For cleaning my room, you owe me a dollar. For hanging up my clothes, you owe me a dollar. For mowing the lawn, you owe me a dollar. Mama, you owe me, pay up." And he actually printed a bill out for her, total, you know, with the four totals, and gave it to her. And the mother came and she put $4 on the kitchen table with a note of her own that simply said, "For carrying you for 9 months and being sick as a dog, no charge. For staying up all night with you, night after night when you were sick, no charge. For working overtime so I could get you those special tennis shoes, no charge. For entertaining your friends when you wanted to bring them over without notice, no charge. Sign, your mother who loves you, total zero." That's pretty cool, Mom. And after reading the note, the young man realized that he had lost sight of the goodness of his mother. He had turned a love relationship into a business deal. He had said to his mother what a lot of God's children say to him: "Pay up, what's in it for me?" Psalm 118, 12 through 16 says, "They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among the thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helps me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous." Isn't that beautiful? "Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Think about it. So we have expressions of gratitude. We have enemies of gratitude. And my point number three is experiences that promote gratitude. Think about it. He says in 7 and 8 of 138 Psalm, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life." Isn't that beautiful? "You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." So as you're experiencing when you have experience that promote gratitude out of your heart, it's almost like you're being rescued. David could look back over his life and trace God's hands protecting him and providing for him, even in dire circumstances. God had a purpose for David. And he knew that it would come to pass, and God can and did rescue David numerous times and use him for his glory. Can anyone in here say that today? That you know God has a plan for you. And maybe you might be going through a tough time, but you know he can rescue you. And he's probably done it before, because he wants you to use the times you go out of those trials to give him glory. So experiencing of promoting gratitude happens when you're rescued, but it's also being equipped. One of the ways God rescued David over time was by equipping him. God knew David he grew David through trials and victories, teaching him wisdom and skills for walking with him in the future. And I wish I'd have put this in your listening guide, but check this out. No experience in our lives is wasted if we trust that God is using it, and if we seek the lesson that he has in store for us. I'd like to read that sentence again. No experience in our lives is wasted if we trust God is using it, and if we seek the lesson he has in store for us. Whether we live in a large house or whether we live in a rescue mission dormitory, gratitude is better than the other alternatives. What do we have that we haven't been given? If we're not thankful, why should God grant us anything? Examine your life right now. Note the times when God came through for you, providing for you, protecting you, equipping you, using the circumstances of your life for his glory and your benefit. Praise him out loud. Praise him long. Praise him publicly, privately, for the hope that you have found in him. Anybody ever heard of Matthew Henry? He wrote a great commentary, very deep, very thick. He wrote this in his diary, Matthew Henry. Let me be thankful first because I never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful that although they took my all, it was really not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. That's Matthew Henry. Paul wrote in Philippians, grateful. He wrote Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. You want to be grateful in this life? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The band and ushers want to come forward. Think about it. Be grateful in your life. Be thankful in your life. Use your life is a testimony of what it looks like to be grateful and thankful. Psalm 103, 1 through 5, I'll close with this because the subtitle is, bless the Lord, O my soul, another psalm of David. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Love your word. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you on how we can just read your Psalms and rejoice, Father. Thank you now that we can just give because that's a sign of worship that we're rejoicing because we're giving back to you a portion of what you really blessed us with. How can anybody say what they have been given is from you, Father? So we love you today, Lord. We ask you to bless our offering today, Father. We ask you to bless those who are given beyond that for our tractor that we just purchased here at the church for the gravel that's just been delivered this week. We want this place to be pleasing in your sight. We want this place in order for you. We want this place clean for you. We want this place to be a place where anybody can come in here no matter what they've done, no matter what they've been through, and they're going to hear the name of Christ here. They're going to understand that they can give everything to you, Father. Every trial, every need, every prayer request. And Father, we ask that you bless our time today, Lord, because every time we want to close this service with the altars open for those who would like to come and ask you of anything, Father. Your word tells us to come to the throne of your grace in time of need, Father. And maybe there's someone here in time of need, Father. So we ask you to bless our closing, bless our altar time, bless this offering, Father, bless our fellowship after. As we give you glory, as we do this fundraiser for the youth, as we all eat together and fellowship together and eat a bunch of hot dogs together, Father, I just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ushers.